let's start in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. You know, it's Michael's fault that I came here today. Because Michael reported to me what I had already seen when I'd previously been here. And that is, a lot of people want to come up and, you know, get their brakes checked and head on down the road. You know, maybe get a quick little oil change, a little pick-me-up. You know, I don't know, something to hang from the rearview mirror and head on down the road with a catastrophe of a vehicle, a catastrophe of a life. When what Michael told me was, what they don't realize is they need a total overhaul. So that's why I came today. I'm reminded of, you know, hey, Duke just beat Carolina in the Dean Dome. That was pretty good. I'm reminded, though, of Dean Smith, who used to coach the University of North Carolina Tar Heel basketball team for 36 years. And that was a program that people who had the ability to do it wanted to play for. Michael Jordan played for Coach Smith at UNC. That was the program to be a part of. Now, Coach Smith had rules and regulations that were the deal. They were not negotiable. They were not a matter of dispute, discussion, or bending. One of which was sort of strange, but it was his, and that is no facial hair. No mustache, no beard, no stubble, no nothing. Well, Coach, play somewhere else. Man. Anyway, but that was the program that he set for 36 years. Then Coach K's been at Duke for 24 years. Similar deal. This is the program at Duke. You don't want to go to class. You don't want to take real classes and get real grades. Go somewhere else. That's the program. Now, yeah, Coach Smith and Coach K, amen, awesome, awesome. But God has a program as well. Our title today is God's Program. And you look, you think those men are hardline. God, from the beginning of time, in the beginning of your life, has laid out a program by which you have to live it. And if you don't want to live it that way, play somewhere else. Do something else. And the fact is, that it is such an awesome place to be. Now, hey, those players would cut off all their facial hair to play for UNC. Those players will actually go to classes where they can slack somewhere else to go to Duke. What will you do to be part of God's program? That's a great question. But let us see. In Luke chapter 5, a patch up his old tricks, I see. Amen, brother. Don't let him mess with you. I don't know why they always try to mess with you. I guess to find out right away that it's not possible. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus talking. He's going to lay out the program. And you know, the people who will read this on their own are going to choke to death on it. That's why they'll skip over it and move on. In verse 36 of Luke 5, he told them this parable. Jesus talking. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. No one does this. As Jesus explained in other Gospels, you take unshrunk cloth, mix it with shrunken cloth, cover a tear on the shrunken cloth, wash it, the new stuff shrinks, making the tear worse. It does not work. The question you have to ask from the scriptures in your relationship with God, which is why you have a patch and fill life, always trying to stem the tide, put the dam back together, you know, fix the leaks, is what in the world went wrong with the old one? You've got a tear, a rip, a problem. Let's take a look. Please, 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 don't go grab something new. Don't go get a new philosophy, a new religion, a new idea, a newfangled thing that you cannot read about and try to patch it with that. Let's take an honest appraisal from the scriptures and ask ourselves what in the world is wrong with what you have. I just got a little leak. I need this patched. I just need an oil change. Need that done. Just need the brakes looked at. Need a little more love in my life. I just want to be a little more energetic. I just want to be a little more caring. I want to be a little less caring. You know, look, let's just not patch that up and send you on your way. Let's say, what in the world has gone on? For Jesus says, no one lives like this. And yet, isn't it true? Everyone lives like this. You have a life. Amen. It is what it is. And it's built on what it's built on. And then as you go along, you're constantly trying to fix things. Constantly trying to fix a relationship. Fix your mind. Fix your thinking. Fix your body. Fix your finances. Always trying to fix something. And what I'm saying to you is what Jesus says to you is, please don't do that. Nobody does that. And yet everybody does it. That's what's amazing. That people who need a complete overhaul and a brand new gig and a brand new deal only want a little bit done. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment and the patch from the new one will not match the old. And yet everybody does it. I believe that you hang in there. You will see that the problem is the fact that what you really have, the old garment you have, is not of God. For if it were, it would not need something new to patch it. If it was from God, God could fix it and you wouldn't need a newfangled idea, a newfangled friend or plan to put it back together in working order. And that's why Jesus says, no one does that. But it is true. When you start with something that is flawed, something that is empty, something that is piecemeal and partial, yes, it'll need a constant round of fixing again, 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 and again. Look at your geezer parents who are still trying to pull it together. Look at geezer grandma and grandpa. Except for their exhaustion, they'd still be trying to pull it together. Fortunately, they're too tired to work too hard at it. Check this out. Verse 37. Jesus says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. Jesus says, no one does that. And yet, everyone does that. It is true, and Jesus says it time and time again. If you are going to add something new to the Bible, you will ruin the Bible. That's all we preach. We just say, hey, we're the most wretched of sinners, we are. So that's not the problem. We're the most wicked of men and women, this ministry is. That's not the problem. Yeah, you're pretty wicked too, but that's not the problem. Yeah, you don't know what you're doing, but that's not the problem. For we have little idea what we're doing. The problem is that when you add a new idea, plan, resolution, conviction, philosophy, or politic to the Bible, it ruins the Bible. That's the problem. It's so simple. And Jesus says no one would do that. And yet everyone does it. Everyone wants to claim that they live the Bible, read the Bible, and know the Bible. And I will show you in a matter of moments how that's not true for you, no matter how convinced of it you are. And I will show you in a matter of moments how you have added your new wine, your new ideas, your new understanding, or someone else's ideas to the Bible, and it's true, ruined the Bible. And that's why you need patching. You think you need an oil change, you think you need, like, you know, a brake job, you think you need a little tune-up, you need a little oomph here, a little oomph there, just a little bit, but not the whole program. God's program is all or nothing, and you need a complete overhaul. Because the fact is that you have ruined the Bible for you because you've added stuff to it that the Bible refuses to hold. It's true. I mean, you look at Matthew 15, Mark 7, Jesus said, look, even the traditions of men, just those robes that those religious people wear down the aisle on their way to church nullify the Bible. Think of how many ways you nullify the Bible if that does it. And it does. And it's God's program or something else. God's not insecure. Look, if Dean Smith can stand up and be who he is, and Coach K can stand up and be who he is, certainly God can. Certainly God has the fortitude and the right to be who he is and say, not in my program, no thanks. Certainly God can do that, and does, and promises to do it, so that you know all throughout your life that it's like, wow, it is not as great as I read about, which is God letting you know, that's right. You've added stuff to the Bible and lost the Bible as a result. That's so simple. That's our only message, really. Just please, please don't kill the Bible for yourself by adding stuff to it. Look, I've had all kinds of newfangled ideas, personal philosophies, politics, you know, encouraged and excited about the brilliance of the world. But to get the truth, I had to consider all rubbish that I may gain Christ. You have to, too. And God's not interested in people who won't do it. And it is amazing that Jesus says, no one would do that. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. That won't work. And you know what happens? Yes, you do know what happens. The Bible stops working for you. Your new ideas fall on the floor. And then you're constantly on the hunt and on the go and on the search for something else new. And it's over. Verse 38. Oh, this is good. I like this. Jesus still talking. And he says, no! Even though we all do it. No! New wine must be poured into new wineskins. I love that. You know what Jesus is saying? He's a little sly, so most people don't know when to be offended. But you know, when he was in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, he was pretty sly in what he said, and nobody knew enough to be offended. So he explained it. Then they got good lathered up and ran into the brow of the hill to try to kill him. But you should be offended at this. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Well, at my church, the place bought Pastor so-and-so a new house so he can minister better. Right. Don't call that the Bible, and don't call it church, for it is neither. Take that new wine and pour it into new wineskins and call it something else, because it's not the Bible. Call it what it is, but it's not the Bible. We took a new idea and poured it into a new book with some newfangled people and came up with this, and none of it is the Bible, if you want to get honest. Jesus says, that's fine. Be who you are, but get honest. He says, no. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. You want to do something because you think it's a good idea? Great, call it what it is. It's a great idea place, but don't call it the Church of God. It's the Great Idea Club. Amen. It's the well-dressed club, but don't call that the church, because it's not. This is the place where we hire people to tell us what we want to hear. We'll call it that. Call it the place where we pay people to tell us what we want to hear. But don't call it the church, because it's not. Jesus saying, no, no, pour that new wine. Pay your pastor. Listen to what you want to hear. Dress up nice. Look nice. Don't get honest. Put all that new wine into a new wineskin. Club, building, corporation. Call your corporation what it is, a corporation. It's not the church. Do you know your church is incorporated as a corporation? Do you know that's not in the Bible? Ah, yes, they do. They're leaving now. Go ahead. See, I'm a big fan of it. I tell people often, I say, you know, that is a really, really good idea. Well thought out. Well reasoned. Spectacular. It's just not in the Bible. But that's all right. Call it the spectacular, new, well thought out idea place. You know, in Washington, D.C., they have places called think tanks. It's like Acts 17 and those Greek philosophers in Athens who sit around and do nothing other than talk about and listen to the latest ideas. Call it what it is. It is not God's program. It is not the church. It is not the Bible. It is not the truth. It is the great idea place. It is a think tank. It is, in the Bible, Acts 17, the Areopagus. Jesus is fine with that. Pour it on in there. But that's what you're doing. I love that. I've told people from the beginning. Pat used to hate this. Look, you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ, or you can be something else. And if you're going to depart from the Bible or add to the Bible, then rest assured you're going to be something else. And that's fine. Jesus is saying, no! New wine must be poured into new wineskins. Take your ideas and put them in your program. Take your thoughts and put them in your club. Don't involve the Bible at all. Please. Don't involve God, the Bible, the church at all. You can even name your little club after you. Go get them. Because the fact is that you can be a disciple of Jesus or you can be something else. And you'll either be one or the other. And religious pretenders who pick their favorite scriptures and who add their newfangled thoughts to keep up with the age are something else. They're not disciples of Jesus. Check this out. Verse 39, Jesus goes on. This is how I know where you are. Jesus says, and no one. That's a lot of no ones. Didn't we get no one in every verse? And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says, the old is better. Amen. That's how I know where you are. Because if you had what I have, I would hear it from you. God's program from the beginning of time is the Bible, the old wine. And nobody, having tasted that, thinks that your ideas are any good at all. But people who've not tasted the truth of the Bible and the old wine of God, which is the only program wine available in the kingdom, nobody would be up for your silly ideas. No one. Right? There it is, yeah. And no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new. For he says the old is better. That's how I know you're lost. There are many ways to tell, but there's a pretty quick one. And that is the fact that you do have in your life and under your life things that aren't in the Bible. And you make decisions with standards that aren't in the Bible. You conclude things that aren't in the Bible. And you add things to the Bible. And that's how I know you don't have the Bible. Because if you had what I have, you wouldn't be interested in anything new. You wouldn't be interested in any nuance, any new age, anything at all. Can you imagine? Pat, can you imagine someone, hey, I got some great ideas. It's like, oh, I'm exhausted already. Please, not some new ideas. The fact is that, as Michael told me, and may he continue to proclaim in this place, you don't need a tune-up. You know, you don't need your batteries charged. You need a total overhaul. And you need to be part of God's program, but to be part of it, you have to surrender to these verses. And though Jesus says no one would do this stuff, you do it all. You do patch and fill your life, making tares worse and wondering why. You do pour new ideas into what was once a scripture and ruin the scriptures as a result. You do not, though Jesus told you to, call your place a club. You try to call it a church. And I know you've not tasted the old, because you have a thirst for the new. And no one who's tasted the truth is even interested in anything new. Hebrews chapter 5. God's program is serious. It is all or nothing. You don't have to do it. That's the awesome thing. You don't have to do it. I don't do it because I have to do it. I'm just compelled to do it. And if you had what I have, you'd be compelled to do it. Though the teachings of men would tell you to hold back and be wise. In Hebrews chapter 5. You know, and it is hard. It is very hard to minister this way. Because of Hebrews 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Right? I mean, it's like, I mean, I know Jamie, right? It's like the hardest consideration when you come out here is like, all right, we're dealing with an attention span of like 4 seconds and a patience level of -8, a desperation level off the charts, a yeasted up with religion level never before seen in history. Preaching the Bible is easy, but you make it so hard. The truth is so simple, it is so easy, but you make it so hard. And that's okay, I'm up for it. I'm up for it being hard. But this is what the Bible says. We have much to say about this. You know, we have so much to say. This is the awesome thing. I know. Hey. I know all those new wine folks, all those people with new ideas, have very little to say, and in many ways they've narrowed the scriptures down to half a verse, and they've really got little to say. That's how I know they're false prophets. Because they, oh, God is love, and just pray this prayer with me, and amen, see you in heaven. Wow. They didn't have much to say. That's how you know they're false prophets. We have much to say. We cannot possibly say it all right now. Why? Why? Because it's hard to explain because you're so slow to learn. good with that. Okay? My ministry is good with that. We'll bear with you. But you need to understand that there is much to explain, much to get to, much to understand. And we will go as painstakingly slowly as necessary. But the problem is you. And that's okay. There was a day the problem was me. And I was born with great patience. The problem will probably be me again one day. And maybe I'll get patience again. But we have a lot to say, a lot to show you. We can't do it. See, we're not going to, this is what's awesome about the ministry of the truth. We're not going to water down the Bible to a verse. We're not going to narrow the teachings of Christ to, you know, a six-minute lesson. We're not going to do it. We're not going to, you know, draw a bunch of pictures. We're not going to give you a bunch of fancy ways to remember little slogans. We're not going to do it. We have much to say about this. That's the way it is. It'll always be that way. It's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. That's not an insult. Join the club. Join the club of people who are slow to learn. And when you get it, you'll have it. And you will not be tempted with silly new stuff. There is a cement plant that used to be near my neighborhood. And it had been there, I guess, for 20 years. And all these housing developments grew up around it. So you have all these housing developments surrounding the Rinker cement plant. Well, the time finally came. All right, Rinker. Rinker could run its operations from anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the middle of a bunch of neighborhoods. So they're moving. And they're going to build houses or townhouses or something there. And the amazing thing is, I mean, what they have to do before they can begin to build anew is what you have to do. There were these huge, Pat's seen them, these huge silos full of dirt to make cement. Huge silos, I mean, right? Huge. Four of them. Boom, boom, boom. They look like that or bigger. They look like that part of that building. Those things have to come down, and they have come down. They are, now they're working in an area where they'll probably be working a while where we won't see any further development. It's like, well, all right, we got to we're going to build something here. We just need to totally devastate this place. Demolition, please. You got demolition companies that come in and their job is to take everything down and out. We're going to do that for you. That is an undertaking. I mean, that is a substantial undertaking. We are going to demolish the strongholds in your life. We are going to destroy the futility of your thinking. We have to bring in excavation equipment of the scriptures to uncover you, lay you bare that something might be built thereafter. It's a huge undertaking. And before we can even begin to really lay a brick, a truth, or anything, I'm just telling you, we got to take the wrecking ball to what you've got already. That should be encouraging. The reason it encouraged me is because it's like, wow, I have built so hastily and so poorly that it explains everything. Whew! I was up for some explanations, and the Bible gave them to me. So just, I mean, this is taking down a cement plant and building a foundation to put houses there is an undertaking. Taking out of you all the new teachings you have that didn't come from God, and they're new because God didn't start his program with them, and getting them out of your life is an unbelievable undertaking. And if I'm up for it, why couldn't you be up for it? But we will take it all down. See, we're not going to patch and fill here. I'm not going to give you a little something here to tide you by. Like, look, it all has to come down. With Christ, it is all or nothing. You can play church if you want to. It's not going to work. You can play religion if you want to. It'll never work. You need to be completely taken down, uncovered, laid bare, and rebuilt. That's what the scriptures say. Well, I can't think of a scripture that doesn't teach that. Really, it is a complete starting over. And we have much to say to you and much to teach you, as the Bible says, and much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. But the thing that makes you the slowest is the fact that you hold on to what you've got. Ah! Ah, my grandma believed that. Ah, my mom. Ah, my wife. It has to go. That's what makes you slow. Give it up. What if the housing development wanted the silo of dirt? Well, that'd look pretty dumb. No one would do that, Jesus would say. But you would. Oh, I majored in philosophy. I actually did. It's rubbish. Well, I majored in philosophy. I built a living on it. It must go, or you cannot have Christ. It's a complete teardown. God's program is not going to negotiate with you. Go play somewhere else. Most people do. No reason you can't. We have much to explain about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. We will bear with you, but the teardown process must take place. It must come out. You have to stop adding new things to the Bible, which aren't in the Bible. You have to stop ignoring things that are in there as if they're not in there. Verse 12. And this, once again, the Bible will show you guilty. Not to condemn you and not to hate you, but to liberate you. Is he talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. He doesn't even know me. Well, verse 12 is about to strip you naked. Verse 12 of Hebrews 5. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food! Exclamation point. I want to know, why in the world don't you teach me a little something you know about the Bible? Go ahead. Try me. Come on. Teach me a little something you know about the Bible. Well, I usually do that when I'm with my church friends. Yeah, I'd do that with watered-down folk just like you, too. Look. Though by this time, you ought to be teachers. How is it that you, with all of your religion and all of your churching up, aren't teaching the Bible? But I do. I teach Sunday school. Where is Sunday school in the Bible? Standing by. All right, quick scan. It's not. Congratulations on destroying the Bible in your life by adding to it and destroying the old wineskin that was the God's program. Come on now, teach me some about the Bible, but watch yourself. Because you ought to be teachers by now. And if you had anything to teach, you'd teach. But you don't have anything to teach, and so you're this verse. That's how I know you don't have it. Because if you had what I have, you'd teach it.
Who are you to judge?
I don't teach it because I have to. I don't teach it because certainly we don't get paid for it. We will never get paid for the gospel, unlike where you go. If Bill Gates wanted to give us money, we'd say, you know, Bill, that's great. But we don't even know what to do with your money, Bill. We're not not even prepared to accept a nickel, Bill. What do we do? I don't even know. That would probably break down the ministry. It's like, we got a nickel, guys. What do we do with it? I don't know. Can you give it back to who gave it to you? We don't do money here. Wow, really? I wouldn't know what to do with it. You got money? Great. Give it to someone who needs it. That wouldn't be us. And it'll never be us. You ought to teach by now, and the fact that you don't teach the actual Bible is the reason is you don't have the actual Bible. You have the teachings of men, the traditions of men, the ideas of men, the very same thing Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 5. You've destroyed the Bible with them, and now you have a little religion club. That's all you have. You don't have the church, don't have God, don't have Christ, don't have the Bible. I'd have to ignore the scriptures to believe otherwise. And if you got something to teach, teach it, and the world will bring it to light. But you know what you need? And this is okay. We can do this. We do this all the time. Though by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone, that would be us, to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. Elementary truths. People build so wrongly. And then they build sky high. And God's like, well, that must come down. And it comes down with a great crash. And it decays from the roots. That's the secret part of your life. Right? That you know about and I know about. And God knows about, but your best friend doesn't know about. Decaying from the roots, it all must come down. And the roots are that part under the ground that nobody supposedly knows about. Hey, I know God knows and you know. That's three of us. Your secret life, your secret sin, your secret compromises, your secret ideas, your shameful behavior, that's what's going on underground, and that is rotting the foundation of your life, which is why that must ultimately come down. And you need someone to simply teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. That doesn't sound so bad. But before the elementary truths of God's Word all over again can be taught, God is not going to lay them over the top of a bunch of junk. He's not going to lay it over the top of a bunch of your religious teaching. He's not going to do it. Never has, never will. He's going to take down what you've built, clear it out of the way. You ought to have had enough of it by now anyway. And then he will build on a clean slate. You're not going to build God's program in your life, the Bible in your life, Christ in your life, and the elementary teachings of the Bible over the top of a bunch of junk. That's been your life, right? That's what Jesus said. No one does that. No one patches here, patches there, and tries to get on down the road. No one does that. And the fact is, everyone does it. No one should do it, and everyone would agree, yeah, Jesus, that would be a bad idea. Well, look at the track record of your life and see how that's what you've always done. Who's up for a total excavation of their life? And the elementary teachings of God's Word all over again laid down. If you're not up for that, then you need to go to some other school than God's program. It's not going to work otherwise. You need milk, not solid food. I understand that. I know people always want, hey, what do you think about the end times? I think you need milk, not solid food. Do you think there's life on other planets? Wow. Now that's a question God didn't ponder, but it's interesting that you would. Yeah. Let's stay with milk. There's plenty of solid food. Hey, we'll set you up platefuls of it. After you've shown an ability to digest milk and understand it. But we meet people's needs. And what you need is to have the elementary truths of God's Word all over again, laid on your life, starting and uncovering everything else bare, clean slate, cool. And then you'll need milk, not solid food. That's what we'll do for you. God's program is a total overhaul of everything. Your job, your school, your talents, your gifts, your relationships, your abilities, your time, your talent, opportunity, everything. God wants it all or nothing. Go somewhere else and pretend. Amen.